This morning, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I would like to read a verse that's in Acts chapter 1 before we get into Acts chapter 2. And that verse is in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. That verse says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." I was really rejoicing in seeing the thermometer, and I hope you blow the top off of it, okay? But there's another area that we need to be blowing the top off of too. And that's our own personal witnessing to those in our family and our friends and our neighbors and right. And you've got a wonderful opportunity here in Singapore to do that. I mean, we can't go out and pass out tracts just like you can here up in Malaysia. And so take advantage of the opportunity you have. You say, "I'm busy." Well, that's okay. Be busy passing out tracts and talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's very important. Now, how many are here that took the missions course when we were here last? Just raise your hand. Okay. Can you tell me one chapter? Can anybody name one of the chapters that we covered? Oh.
Need a refresher.
I'll tell you, I didn't think it would leave you so quick. And that's the reason I'm going to preach to you a message that I think will maybe encourage you in that area of your life. In Acts chapter 2, notice what it says in verses 31 and 32. "And he," and it's referring to David, "seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." And listen, the first generation Christians had that great privilege. Now, that doesn't mean we can't believe in his resurrection, because we do believe in his resurrection. But nobody can read the New Testament without seeing the prominence that's given in it to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially the book of Acts. It's all over the book. It's there everywhere. Notice in chapter 2 and verse 22 to 24, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. As ye yourselves also know, he, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God," in other words, what Christ did, he did because God wanted him to do it. Oh, if we would just do what God wants us to do, we would be much better off. But it says here, "He was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Now, actually, we have no fear, have no need of fear. We're assured that he did arise from the dead. And we have to thank the Lord for the passage over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In that passage, Paul is telling the Corinthian believers, he said, "If Christ be not risen," we've got problems, because in that passage, in verse 14, he says, "Then is our preaching vain." And in verse 14, he says, "And your faith is also vain." And in verse 15, he says, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God." In verse 17, "And ye are yet in your sins." And in verse 18, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." No hope for them at all. if Jesus didn't raise from the dead. But the Apostle Paul didn't stop there in verse 18 or 19. He went on to verse 20. And in verse 20 of that passage, he says, "Now is Christ risen from the dead?" We have a risen Savior. Amen. The fact that He rose from the dead, and we too will one day rise from the dead. It's based on the fact that He completed our salvation. And we can just by faith trust in Him to take care of it for us as well. Scripture promises all who repent and trust in Christ for salvation will have everlasting life. What an encouraging message this is. And what a message to proclaim when you witness to people, talk about the risen Christ a little bit. Say, He's not in the grave, He rose. And we celebrate it on Easter. You know, you go to the mouth of any river like the Amazon River, a huge river in South America. And if you go to the mouth of it where the river runs into the ocean, it's wide. It doesn't even look like a river. It looks like part of the ocean. But then if you go upstream and you go and you find the trickle, the little trickle that starts the whole thing, many, probably hundreds of miles away. That's kind of like what Christianity has done here on the earth. It started as a trickle. It started right after the fact that He died and rose and went back to heaven, and people started telling other people about the risen Christ. And now it is a multitude across the universe. It's a multitude. We have more Christians today in the world than any other time in the history of the world. Yet we also have problems too. I was reading in some information that ABWE put out in one of their booklets. It says that persecution is on the rise. We don't normally hear about that. But 215 million Christians experienced persecution in 2018. But in 2019, there was 249 million. 14% increase in 1 year. That's a lot. That's a lot. 1 in 9 Christians worldwide experienced high levels of persecution. Over 4,000 Christians were killed for faith-related reasons. 2,600 Christians detained without trial and arrested and sentenced and imprisoned. That are in prison today, somewhere in the world. 11 Christians on average are killed every day for their faith in the Lord. You see, the world today, there's probably about 3 billion of the probably 7 billion that never have been reached with the gospel. 195 million people in the 1040 window do not have a Bible of any kind. About 150 million Chinese do not have a Bible in their language. There are almost 500,000 villages in India with no gospel preaching church of any kind in it. And that's just one country in the world, one of the biggest populated countries. You see, there's several times that the early disciples spoke on several occasions, and all of them that had seen the risen Lord always talked about the fact that He rose from the dead and He's alive forevermore. I'd like to mention, just point these out to you. Scripture will preach a good message if you let it. Okay? And let's let it this morning. In Acts chapter 3, verses 12 to 16, Peter's message at the temple. Notice what it says in the scriptures. "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?" What were they marveling at? They had seen the healing of the lame man in front of the temple. And why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? Verse 13 says, and the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just One, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you instead of Jesus, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. In other words, this man that was lame is now healed, and it's because of the resurrection power of the Holy of the Lord. And when the lame man believed in the name of the Lord, he was healed. And the power of God raised Christ, also healed the lame man. You see, the resurrection is very important. In Acts chapter 4, if you'll leaf over there in your Bibles or however you're looking at this, you know, everything has almost gone digital. Okay, it's crazy. Sometimes I go in a church and I'm one of the only ones carrying a Bible anymore. And that bothers me. I know I carry my phone too, but my phone's not near as important as my Bible. Okay? Make sure your Bible is a very important thing in your life. And it's worth carrying to church. Okay? It's worth seeing it in print. But Acts chapter 4, notice what it says in verse 8. Then Peter's message before the Sanhedrin, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, nor there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way to get into heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, and faith in him and his resurrection power makes it possible for us to have it. If you don't have it yet, you need to get it. Salvation, there's no salvation in any other. I want you to notice they were spirit-filled and bold in proclaiming the gospel. Are we as bold as we ought to be in a place where we can freely proclaim the gospel? We need to be bold in it. We need to make it one of the priorities in our life. That's what they did in the early church. And you'll see it in the preaching of these men. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 7. Notice what it says in verses 55 and 56. This was a message Stephen preached before the Sanhedrin. And it says in verse 55, and he being full of the Holy Ghost. That's our problem. Maybe we're not full of the Holy Ghost. Maybe we don't draw on the Lord like we ought. If some of you didn't make it for Sunday school, you missed a very good message on praying and how important personal prayer is in the life of the believer. Get the notes from somebody. It's important for us to be the Christian that we ought to be, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, Stephen did, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Well, if he was standing in heaven, that means he rose from the dead. And said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man, and he was alive in heaven, standing on the right hand of God. By the time Stephen spoke to the Sanhedrin, Jesus Christ had already gone to heaven, and he was there, and he was living, and he saw him, and he let them know that's who he was seeing. We need to be bold in our faith and the truth of the gospel. Regardless. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 10. Peter was at Cornelius' house. And in verse 34, he says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." In other words, Peter was already in the early days when the church really wasn't totally formed and functioning to its fullest extent. Peter said, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." In other words, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You see. "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God has sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And he's Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, and him to give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him should receive remission of sins." You see, Jesus did it personally there. But Jesus is the written word. He's the Logos. And today, through the Logos, through the Word, I'm reminding you of your responsibility and the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, and that gives us the power that we need to do what we ought to do and to live like we ought to live. When Peter went to Cornelius' house, he had crossed the cultural barrier. Before Cornelius was, he was a Gentile. Jews didn't go and mix with Gentiles, but he did. He went and preached. And he was impressed that the Holy Spirit, worked in Cornelius' heart, and he was saved. There were different people from all over the world in the Jerusalem church. You know, I always think of a church we worked in New York City. They called it International Baptist Church. And it was definitely international. There would probably be 24-30 different nationalities in the church every Sunday morning. People from all over the world, because New York City has people from all over the world. And we went out and witnessed to people in all the different areas. I ran into people from the West Indies, and when I realized they would speak, and as soon as they would speak, I knew where they were from. I'd say, "Oh, you're from Barbados." And he said, "What? How do you know that?" I said, "Well, because of your accent." "What about my accent?" "Well, I lived in the West Indies for a while, and I know Bajans. I know their accent." And then I got to witness to him and give him a track. He took time. Why? Because he realized I knew him a little better than he thought I knew him. You see. Some of you know some people well enough that you could witness to them and trust, they might trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If the pastor goes and witnesses to them, they may not. You may be the one God wants to use. And if God lays somebody on your heart, you better go tell him about the risen Christ and make sure that they know how to be saved. In Romans 10, 12 to 13, it says, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone can be saved. Everyone will not be saved, but everyone could. It's possible. You see, his resurrection was the power that was needed so that we could have life over death. Paul gave a message to the Jews in a synagogue. It was in Antioch of Pisidia. In Acts chapter 13, we'll pick up there and read a few verses there. Acts chapter 13, and notice verse 26. Paul says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, Jews, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Paul was one that would boldly speak out about the gospel. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down to the tree, from the tree, and laid him in a sepulcher. But, verse 30, God raised him from the dead. He didn't stay dead. After 3 days he arose from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. We have to have witnesses unto the people. They needed him back in that day. We need him today. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, and this was at the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia. And Paul was preaching to Jews, but there were a few million Jewish people in the world today. Are they hearing the gospel? Do you have a Jewish missionary you support? Have you seen any Jews in Singapore? I'm sure there are some here. I'm sure they're here. They need to be witnessed to. And then let's go to chapter 17 of Acts. Chapter 17. Paul is at Athens on Mars Hill. And in verse 29 he says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto silver or gold or stone or graven by art or man's device. And in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. The people that were at Mars Hill in Athens didn't believe much in God of any kind. And yet he went there and found the statue for the unknown God and preached Christ unto them. And they believed in philosophies and the gods, the Roman gods, you see, and everything. But everyone needs to hear the gospel message of Christ today. In Acts chapter 24, you see Paul before Felix in Caesarea. In verse 14 he says, and this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead. He gets up before one of the government officials and talks about the resurrection of the dead. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. And he also spoke before not only Felix, but Festus and Herod Agrippa, and was very bold in his declaration and talking about the Lord. So regardless of who or every anyone that you come in contact with, if you have an opportunity to witness, take the opportunity and always let them know we have a risen Savior. He's not a dead Savior. You see, he's a risen Savior. He rose from the dead. He liveth forever. And it gives us the power that we need to do what God wants us to do. In one of the villages in northern India, a missionary was preaching in a bazaar. As he closed, a Muslim gentleman came up and said, "You must admit, we have one thing you have not, and it is better than anything you have." The missionary smiled and said, "I should be pleased to hear what it is." The Muslim said, "You know, when we go to Mecca, we at least find a coffin. But when you Christians go to Jerusalem, which is your Mecca, you find nothing but an empty grave." The missionary just smiled and said, "That is just the difference. Muhammad is dead. Muhammad is in the coffin. And all false systems of religion and philosophy are in their coffin. But Jesus Christ, whose kingdom is to include all nations, kindreds, and tribes, is not here. He is risen. And that's our hope. That's really our hope, a living Christ. He's not dead. He's alive. He's alive." And I want to close out in a little unusual way. Just let me find my music here, and we'll do it. And on the chorus, I want you to help me. Okay? How's that? Will you help me on the chorus? Okay. Well, if you'll do that, we're going to get this closed out well. Are you ready? "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today.